The events of Saturday, July 13th, will be remembered in American history for as long as America's around, as Donald Trump survives an attempt at assassination. We'll talk about it and how we should view it in the days and weeks that follow, today on the Palmetto Family Matters Show. We're coming to you a little earlier than we would in the week, but that's because we couldn't do this on Saturday or Sunday. Welcome into the fastest growing and strongest conservative talk show in the state of South Carolina. It's the Palmetto Family Matters Show. Justin Hall, Mitch Prosser, Dr. Steve Pettit here with you again in different locations, but the wonders of technology do us great things, and this is one of those. So guys, we'll jump right in here. This is... You know, we talk about looking at things from a biblical perspective and looking at things from a Christian worldview. And then you have moments in history like we had on Saturday where, you know, some of us are in different states and I'm sitting in a Bible study and I get an alert and your mind starts to race as you realize that shots were fired at Trump's rally up in Butler, Pennsylvania. And then you're thinking, oh, no, I hope it's not the worst case scenario. And we came very close, millimeters away from a worst case scenario. And the outlandish begins and the heightened rhetoric continues. And I believe it's the heightened rhetoric that got us here. But I guess those are my thoughts initially as we get this thing going, guys. A historic day and one that the reverberations will be felt far beyond November in 2024.
Well, Justin, thank you so much for that wonderful opening. And as we consider this, I was actually getting ready to walk into a service and speak at a family camp outside of Reading, Pennsylvania, which was on the other side of the state from where Butler is located. And I was getting ready to go and preach and heard the news that shots had been fired at President Trump. And of course, I was immediately emotionally moved by that and the reality of the seriousness of the situation that we find ourselves in. And I do want to go online saying that I give thanks to the Lord for his mercy and saving the life of Donald Trump. And we already know the stories of how he turned his head and it skimmed past his ear, and had his head been at the situation that he was in normally, he would have lost his life. So we give thanks to God for God's sovereign protection over his life.
And I would say that's not even, Mitch, this is the key here. Is that this isn't a moment where we can spend 15 or 20 minutes powwowing about how former President Trump is God's chosen man and he saved his life because of that. I don't believe we need to twist scripture at all to reach the conclusion that we serve a providential God. And it is by his providence that we live and draw our being every day. And so when you look at that, what Dr. Pettit just said, I think he illustrated it well, is that it is the very hand of God that allows us to draw breath each day. And for whatever reason, you know, Saturday was not that final day for former and possibly future President Trump. And as Christians, we understand that this is much deeper than fate, right? That we understand that there is something bigger happening that we are a part of. And so looking through that providential lens, Mitch, and we work in the world of policy and we love the circus and the show that it can be sometimes, but in a moment such as Saturday, how quickly do we go from monitoring a rally to reevaluating where we are as a country?
Yeah, that's a great question, Justin. We were sitting at dinner with some friends of ours in the Atlanta area. I was preaching for him this past weekend, and I think it was you that texted me, and I just said, President Trump was just shot. And of course, that's all you know. And, you know, you and I, and I know Dr. Pettit, you've done these high caliber events where advanced work, prep work, it all comes to this culmination. It comes to a head, and it's zero time. It's go. And all that happens, and how quickly all of that preparation, all of that excitement is just evaporated by evil. You know, I talked with a couple people yesterday. It's just remarkable to me how people try to spin this, and the unadulterated truth and reality of this moment, without knowing any grand conspiracy or attempt to try to connect a spider web of dots that don't or do exist. Who knows? You know, because we can all look back on the JFK stuff and the Reagan stuff and clear all that away. Was done on Saturday, and for the grace of God, and even President Trump said God alone saved his life. Grace of God covered former President Trump. It's hard to put into words how remarkable it is. I mean, I told the church yesterday, I said, friends, I'm a nerd. Imagine that. So when it comes to history, I'm always trying to look at where I would be, you know, and I don't know if y'all have ever done this, but like the Revolutionary War, where would I have been? Would I have been a Tory? Would I have been a loyalist? Would I have been a patriot? You know, Civil War, same thing, gray, blue, where? Bridge in Alabama, Selma, Alabama. Would I be walking across that bridge with Dr. King, or would I be throwing rocks? And I think there's a lot of questions. I think for believers right now, and this is, I mean, we're always living history. This is a nexus. This is a tipping point, if you will, in human world, American history, and Christians must speak truth unashamedly, concisely, purely the truth of God's word into this moment, that evil was done. There is grace. There is hope beyond any circumstance that could, did, or did not happen on Saturday. God is still sovereign, and he is still in control.
There's no question about that. And when we talk about the actual events on Saturday, it leads us into this that we have to talk about. And it is the heightened rhetoric revolving around our political culture. I'm of the opinion that a lot of things in life are indeed political. It's the interfacing of man with his government. But for the better part of 8 years, it has gotten extremely worse in that we have taken one person and compared them to who many would believe is one of the worst human beings ever. And I put in that in air quotes. You can't see that on this audio podcast. The comparisons of people because they're evil and they're awful and their threat to the country must be eliminated. We've heard that for years. Eventually, somebody will come along and say, you know what, you're right. And I say that to say that the fault of this does not lie at the foot of the president or the vice president, the current ones, the administration. No. Are they responsible for the heightened rhetoric? Sure. And so is the other side too. Absolutely. But as Christians, we have to walk circumspectly and understand that, but for the grace of God, so go I as well, right? We can't be given into this craven desire to label opposition as evil. We have to approach things with a sense of deeper understanding. And it bears out in the worst way. The worst possible thing was Saturday. Actually, not the worst possible thing. Very close to the worst possible thing was Saturday. And immediately, I think it's so important that we take a breather. And it's hard to, because the convention is starting, as of this recording, it's starting right now. And sources are pouring in about the VP pick, and that will already have been made once this is out. But as Christians, I think it's high time that we take a step back and say we cannot be given in to the craven hatred and disunity that the country is given to right now. We have to be diligent and resigned to the fact that God is in control, and we have to be able to rise above all that led to this.
Justin, I agree with you 100%. And I, as you shared some of the things, I think our audience, as they listen, and thank you for listening, whoever is listening to this podcast. I had a couple of immediate thoughts when this event took place. Number one, the young man, sadly, but this young man tried to kill the former president. He tried to murder him. And when Jesus spoke about Satan, he said there are two distinguishable characteristics about him. Number one is that he is a liar. And number two, that he is a murderer from the beginning. So we can say without any hesitation that this had to have been satanically inspired, in the sense that that is what Satan's goal is, and that is to destroy. For he came to destroy. I think secondly, I actually, when I heard that he was shot in the ear, I hate to say what I thought, but my first thought was when Peter took out a sword and tried to cut off the guy's ear that tried to arrest the Lord, and how that Jesus healed him. And then he told him to put up his sword because this is not the way my kingdom operates. And so I'm speaking primarily to Christian people that, as was said earlier by Mitch, when we think of the right side of history, I think Christians want to be on the right side of history. And the right side of history is always going to be obedience to God and manifesting the fruit of the Spirit to show love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, meekness, temperance, and faith. And meekness for the world will appear to be weakness, but meekness is not weakness. Meekness is wisdom. And I think what has been called for, the cooling down, cooler heads prevail. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. We need to vote what is right. We've been given the privilege to vote what is right. But God's people, Christian people, should be humble. They should be prayerful, and they should choose to vote the right thing. Righteousness exalts a nation.
Without question. And as we move forward, we can only move forward in that vein. And on a day that least surprising, shocking moment was Saturday. Fearfully enough, we worry about this, and we can later on discuss the inadequacies of how this happened. We've all been through events that involve advance work, all of us. And for some of us, just recently, Mitch, you and I and Palmetto family, we were down in Charleston a little over a year ago, where there were announced, well, there was one announced candidate for president. Turns out there were about four, but how many principals were there in that building? And how much, nine, and how much security do we have to go through then, let alone had the former president that time accepted the invitation? So we've all been a part of these things, and we can discuss later what happened and why it happened. And according to reports, there's a virtual call today with the House Oversight Committee and the chair or the head of the Secret Service, and there'll be a public one in a week, and we'll know more. But as we move to the convention that starts today, starting as of this recording, and it is starting right now, President Trump will have made his vice presidential pick. And we will know who that is, and we will hear the speeches, and we'll move forward. President Trump, according to reports, has determined that his speech on Thursday night, the culmination of the convention, will be a unity speech. Now, what does that mean? I don't know, but he has recrafted the whole thing. And that his vice presidential pick will be a unity pick. I take that for what it's worth. It has changed the trajectory of the campaign, what happened Saturday. And I know I'm monologuing here, but Mitch, I hope and pray that the result of Saturday changes the trajectory for both the worldly side and eternal side of President Trump. And I hope it changes the eternal perspective of a nation, that we see, oh, there is a lot more to this life than who is elected president.
Yeah. I want to go back, you know, the Secret Service agents, the local police, all those, they saved lives. My goodness, can
they
you
did.
Imagine if that thing, that had continued? Yeah, they saved lives, unfortunately. What we're now learning, I think, is a gentleman that was protecting his family lost his life. I can't imagine what that family's going through right now. Yeah, I've never been shot at. I just, it's not a thing I've dealt with, right? So I don't know how, God bless him, I don't know how he slept, and then apparently went out yesterday, and I'm sure he went to church first, but went and played golf, and, you know, I don't, got ice in his veins. I'll say this, you know, the eternal perspective is something to always bear in mind, and I don't know as Christians if we do that enough, because we're so enraptured and so caught up in the tangible, the here and now, what we see is all it is, right? And we have to continually bear in mind the eternal perspective. I love the way, especially when it comes to these sorts of things, Dr. Tony Evans, for years, his three children, his son played in the NFL. And being from Dallas, it broke his heart when his son played for the Redskins, you know, that rivalry between the two. He said, my first NFL game I ever went to, I realized that there were good guys and there were bad guys on the field. And, you know, he plays the two teams against one another. But he says, I learned something the more I studied what was happening on the field. I learned there aren't two teams on the field. There's actually three. You know, and I think there's this notion that all you see is all that exists is two teams. There's Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal, good, bad, whatever. And the answer is there's actually a third team, and it is Christians who are not of this world, who have eternal, our citizenship is in the kingdom of heaven in all of eternity. And the reality is that we don't have to play the earthly game and say, oh, you know, no, we are on the field. By the way, that third team was the referees. They were the officials. They are on the field, but not of the field. And they're there to call the game as it is, not to shade it one way or the other. They have a rule book. I would reach over and grab my Bible and start preaching here in just a second. They have a rule book that they abide by, and they say the truth, whether the fans in the stands lose their minds or the quarterback yells and screams in their face or the defense just – no, the rules are the rules. The truth is the truth, and Christians have to speak into this moment and all moments in history, because guess what, guys? And y'all know this, Dr. Putty, no jab here. You've lived a little bit more life than us. You've seen check me if I'm wrong here, but I think you were alive. Were you alive when Kennedy was assassinated?
Oh, yeah. I was 7 years old, and I remember where I was. I remember where I was with my mother at a park.
Crazy stuff's going to happen, and God forbid it. Something like this is probably going to happen again in our lifetime. We as Christians have to continue to speak truth. And I'm preaching to the choir. I know all of our listeners. I know you guys know this. But it has to be continually, intentionally front of mind for us.
As we wrap up the edition of the program, we wanted to make this short. We want to make this sweet in basic definitional terms. I want to make sure that we don't go too long and keep you engaged. So as we wrap up this program, we've been talking about how do we move forward? How do we view things? Mitch, I think, did an excellent job there. Dr. Pettit, when it comes to the American evangelical vote, we have been kind of, you know, boxed into a corner when it comes to support of political candidates and how that voting breakdown goes. I'll ask you this in closing. How can Christians walk the line, and pastors are included, walking the line of addressing what happened on Saturday while also not playing fealty to a personality and keeping in line with the truth of Scripture. I believe plenty of pastors did that, by the way, on Sunday, including mine. Shout out to the father-in-law. I believe a lot of them did a great job on that. But how can pastors, and then those of us who fill the pews, fill the seats, as we go out and discuss these things with our family and our friends and our coworkers, how can we toe the line and walk in truth in this?
Well, I think first of all, our loyalty has to be to the kingdom of God. And so I think for all Christians, I'm a Christian first. I would be an American second from that perspective. I am going to have skepticism of any leader in the sense that they're all sinful. They're all going to be sinners. And so therefore my loyalty has to be to the scriptures first and foremost. I think in making a decision going forward, you're going to have to vote on principle, and you're going to have to vote principles first, and who is going to be committed to those principles. And there are some that are going to be stronger than others. This is not about party. This is about principles. And so I'm going to vote for the principles. I may or may not like the personality. I may like their style of leadership. I may not like their style of leadership. I think we should be willing to speak up against what is wrong and not be fearful and go along just because everybody else is going along with the party line. So you have to have a healthy sense of skepticism in a proper sense. You need to take a stand. You need to be scriptural. And then you need to be positive that God's in control and God is going to work things out. God is going to accomplish his purpose and plan.
And I don't think there's anything more telling of that than what happened on Saturday. A simple head tilt changes everything. And so as we move forward, we'll continue to track the Republican National Convention, which has started as of this recording. It just started. We will be keeping track of what's going on in Milwaukee, including a vice presidential pick, as well as cases against the former president have been dropped today in regards to the classified documents. That is a big deal, as the judicial cases that were mounting up are starting to fall down as we near election time. So we'll be tracking all of that. We've got a lot of news. If you've missed our announcement today on our social page about Randy Page joining the staff, make sure to see that on our socials and share that with your friends and family. Share this show with your friends and family. Give us the 5-star rating and review. We would appreciate it. Always visit palmettofamily.org. You can invest in the work that we're doing there, and you can find all of our information and our studies and our publications. You can find it all right there on the website, and be on the lookout. There's a new fresh look coming for Palmetto Family that we are getting very excited about, as that's going to get rolling out here very, very soon. Again, a historic, monumental day on Saturday, and how we approach it says everything about the future of our country. For Dr. Steve Pettit and Mitch Prosser, I am Justin Hall. Thank you so much for listening to the fastest growing and strongest conservative talk show in the state of South Carolina, the Palmetto Family Matters Show.